I use that as a sort of an introduction to what I wanted to say today. Becky talked about the word reset, and I've been feeling for a little while that this is an opportunity to have a bit of a rethink. On the news this week, I heard them talking about the new normal. The BBC, we're using this new normal, and I was just thinking about this word normal, and I looked it up, and you know, the word normal, the definition of it is conforming to a standard, usual, typical, or expected. Well, it's fair to say, isn't it, that nothing is usual, typical, or expected at the moment. Everything kind of has gone out the window almost. The world is being shaken. There's an inevitable rethinking going on, a questioning. And I think that's a real opportunity for the church at this time to help people kind of find answers to some of the questions that they've been looking for answers to in other places. So, you know, I want to encourage us to make ourselves available to people. I've been really encouraged by some of the testimonies that Zion's been sharing on his little YouTube channel there, just praying to the Lord to give him a word for someone and then going out and seeing what happens. So I encourage you to have a look at that. Maybe we'll try and have a chat with Zion on that, about that in the weeks to come. I haven't asked him yet, but I will do. But what about the standard that we are conforming to? Yeah, that's our definition there, conforming to a standard. What about the standard we are conforming to? You know, from the beginning of all this, the word that came to my mind repeatedly is a word that Becky uses, I've said already, and that's this word, reset. And lots of people are saying this, aren't they? It's time for a bit of a reset. I know somebody prayed, I can't remember who it was, sort of prayed about, well, it was Ginny, prayed about the environment. And there is a real kind of thinking about this, isn't there? It's time for a bit of a reset with regard to our attitude towards the environment, an opportunity to establish new standards, if you like, to do with the environment. And I pray that is the case. And maybe some of the things that we've seen around, you know, people's generosity and gratitude in this time of struggle is coming to the surface. I pray that that's a reset, that we would see more and more of that in our community, you know, in culture. What about who are the heroes? Suddenly we're not talking about football players or people in the media. People in sort of, I don't know, all sorts of people that we consider to be heroes. You know, suddenly we're talking about a 100-year-old Captain Tom who walks up and down his garden 100 times and raises 30-odd million for the NHS. Or the lady who serves at Tesco's. We've been chatting to her, me and Holly have been going in every week, chatting to her. She's become a hero, seeking to serve us in this difficult time. But what about you and me? What about us? What about the church? Is this an opportunity for us to look at the standards that we're conforming to? In the coming weeks, I want us to think about this. I felt that this is the time to start looking ahead, to start thinking about what the Lord is leading us into in the future, what this new normal is going to look like for us as a church as we go forward. What does it mean for us to press a reset button on certain things? I know we were doing a bit of this anyway before all this kicked off, weren't we? Asking questions about the name of the church, what our foundational principles are. We're looking at our statement of faith, all these things that we were thinking about. And I think we mustn't lose sight of the fact that this is an opportunity to have a little bit of a reset and a rethink. You know, in the language of the Bible, there are two different words for time. There's the word chronos, which is like, you know, what time is it? Well, it's I don't know what time it is now, but it's probably about 10:45 or whatever. You know, it's the time of day. But then there's this other word, and this is the word I want to just put before you this morning. It's the word kairos. And this is about timeliness. Kairos moments are moments that are full of opportunity, full of potential, if we choose to take it. And I want to pray for us that these moments would truly be kairos moments. I've been struggling a little bit this week about knowing where to go in terms of what I was going to share this morning. All I knew is that I needed to start talking about going forward. I needed to start thinking a little bit about what life was going to look like once lockdown is over and we were able to sort of gather together as we go into the year ahead. One of the other things that I've been thinking about this week is, and again, it just sort of came up in my reading and what I was watching and thinking about, and that is about storms and about boats. And I started thinking about how we were encouraged all those years ago to set sail. The Lord put that word before us to set sail. And how at the moment it kind of feels a bit choppy and a bit stormy. And my mind started going to sort of different points in the Bible where there were storms. I was thinking about in Paul's in Acts when Paul was at sea. And also I was thinking about Jonah. We're going to come on to that in a moment. These times of storminess, where storms happen, and two things happened, or seemed to happen, is one, that in these times of crisis, when the storm was raging, what would happen on these ships is they would throw things over the side to try and lighten the load a little bit. The second thing happened, you read about this in Acts, is that when the storm started raging, they threw ropes around the ship to lash it together to strengthen it. And I've been thinking about this and thinking, you know, are there things at this time of rethinking, this Kairos moment, are there things that we need to be throwing over the side? That we need to be sort of lightening the load so that we can kind of sort of go forward a little bit easier? Are there things? These are, you know, the questions at the moment. The other thing I was thinking about is these times where it does feel a bit rocky and a bit stormy, is how do we strengthen the ship? What's the strengthening that needs to happen? Because what we find in these times, when the storm is raging, we kind of find out where the weaknesses are. So I want us to reflect on that in the coming weeks. I'd invite you to think about, are there things we need to let go of? Are there things that we need to strengthen in these days? And I just leave that with you. So just think and pray into that as we consider as a church about where we're going and what life will look like once we've come through this period. But where I ended up, and where I want to just share really briefly for a few moments this morning, is I ended up in Jonah. And I want to just read to you from Jonah 2. And it's Jonah's prayer from the belly of a fish. And I want to read it in the light of this, almost all I've said already, in terms of the questions that we're asking about how we go forward. Is this a Kairos moment? Is it a resetting moment of certain things? You know, within the life of our church and in our own lives too. So I'm going to read it to you, Jonah 2. You know, we kind of, you may know the story, I'm sure you would have heard of it. You know, Jonah has a word from the Lord. He's to go to Nineveh. He doesn't want to go. He goes the opposite direction. The Lord intervenes and actually he gets him to where he wants him to be in the most extreme and unusual ways. And that he's on a ship, the storm comes, and the sailors on the ship throw him over. Big fish comes up, swallows him, and this is where we meet Jonah. We come to this reading today. So let me read it to you. So he's inside a fish. From inside the fish, Jonah prayed to the Lord his God. He said, "In my distress, I called to the Lord, and he answered me. From the realm of the dead, I called for help, and you listened to my cry. You hurled me into the depths, into the very heart of the seas, and the currents swirled around me. All your waves and breakers swept over me. I said, 'I've been banished from your sight.'" This is how Jonah felt. "I've been banished from your sight." You know that God was with him, but he felt distant. "Yet I will look again to your holy temple. The engulfing waters threatened me. The deep waters surrounded me. Seaweed wrapped around my head. To the roots of the mountain I sank down. To the earth beneath barred me in forever. But you, Lord my God, brought my life up from the pit. When my life was ebbing away, I remembered you, Lord, and my prayer rose to you and into your holy temple." And it's this next bit I want us to really think about today. "Those who cling to worthless idols turn away from God's love for them." This is what it says in the NIV. "Those who cling to worthless idols forfeit the grace that could be theirs." but I, with shouts of grateful praise, will sacrifice to you. What I have vowed, I will make good. I will say salvation comes from the Lord. And the Lord commanded the fish, and it vomited Jonah onto the dry land. This is a turning point, a kairos moment, a reset moment for Jonah. He's seeking to go the other way, and God just takes hold of the situation, and he just sort of brings him to a point where Jonah has to reset and rethink. This is a moment of embracing God's purposes that God has for him. I've got three things just briefly to mention from these verses. As we think about what this moment holds for us, as we think about what reset might look like for us, the first is that, you know, taking these final kind of two verses that we read from 8 and 9, the first is that we need to change our gaze, or we need to make sure we're looking in the right place. It says, those who cling to worthless idols turn away from God's love for them. As I said, you know, I think it's the slightly older version of the NIV. It says, those who cling to worthless idols forfeit the grace that could be theirs. You know, there are implications of not changing our gaze. There are implications of focusing on the things of this world that you know, are being tested and are being shaken in these days. We need to keep our eyes fixed on him. This is what it says. I read recently. It says, you know, you become like that which you worship. You become like that which you worship. And I think this is really, really important. When we invest time and effort and energy into something, when it becomes a focal point in our lives, actually, it tends to shape who we are, shape what we do. And God wants to be number one in our lives. He wants to be the one that we worship before all things. And when we do worship him before all things, all these other things sort of take their rightful place. You know, some of them aren't healthy and aren't helpful, but some of them are just normal, good things, part of life. But when they take his place in our life, they can become an idol for us. They can become a focus, and they can shape who we are. So we need to change our gaze if we're looking in the wrong place. We need to focus our worship, our adoration upon him. And as we do, we'll show who we are. So we don't want to cling to worthless idols. And I think it's interesting in these days, when we cling to those worthless idols, these days of shaking, we can be left wanting. So let's change our gaze. Let's keep him as our focus. That's the first thing we need to do in these days as we seek to reset and rethink. The second thing is we need to choose to praise. We need to choose to praise. It says there, but I, with shouts of grateful praise, will sacrifice to you. I was looking at this in the original language, and just read it in a book. And what they were saying was, the word sacrifice here is not a sacrifice that would be offered by one person on behalf of all. What the sacrifice is referring to is the individuals bringing their sacrifice to the temple and making their sacrifice for God. Okay, it's not about someone else doing it for you. It's about you taking responsibility for this yourself. And I want to say we need to choose to praise in these days. You know, what we do here, Barney led us beautifully and brilliantly earlier, and the guys have been doing it week in, week out, and we're grateful for that. But actually, that's not what this is talking about. We need to become a people of praise, particularly in these days. You know what, we're 5 weeks in to 6 weeks in, or whatever it is, to the lockdown now. It's hard, isn't it? And I think we need to redouble our efforts in terms of our praise and our thankfulness to God. We really need to be people of praise. We need to be shouting it out, belting it out for him. We need to think about what this looks like in our day-to-day lives as we go about, you know, whatever it is God has in store for us, whatever each day holds. We need to be a people of thankfulness and praise in these days. So that's the second thing. So we need to change our gaze. We need to choose to praise. And now, finally, I just want to say this. We need to remember the promises we've made. We need to remember the promises we've made. It says there, what I have vowed, I will make good. What I have vowed, I will make good. You know, maybe there were times that where we're quick to remember God's promises to us. And that's good, because You know, he is the promise keeper. You know, he is the promise keeper. He is good to his word, that which what we read about in his word. And it's good to talk about his general promises to us that we read about in his word. But there are some specific promises that he's made to us as a church. He will bring about a move of his spirit. That's what we're holding on to. Some, you know, we are going to see it. We believe that picture of the locks is going to be increased in our spiritual growth and what we see God doing. We should be expectant of that week in, week out, these prophetic words that he's given us. And we need to hold on to those promises. And that's what they are. They're promises to us. But what about the promises and the vows that we made to him? You know, a vow here is an act of verbally consecrating ourselves to God. You know, think back over your life. I'm sure there have been times where, you know, talk about Kairos moments, where you have made a promise to God. You have sort of, you've consecrated yourself, and it's been life-changing and life-altering, and you're still living in the reality of that today. But there are also times when in that moment, you know, of closeness and connection with him, but we've made promises, but then life has changed, that the fire and the passion has subsided a little bit, and maybe those promises have been forgotten. And maybe today, at this time, it's time to remember, to rethink, and to recall some of those promises that we've made to God, to remember them, to hang on to the vows that we made as we go forward. But what I want to ask you to do at this time, as we look at this whole thing about, you know, what the areas we need to reset and rethink, is there a vow, a verbal act of consecrating, of being set apart, that God is asking you or us to make in these days? It could be linked to some of the things that we've talked about already, about changing our gaze, about focusing upon him. It could be about steps that he wants you to take, things that he wants you to do. Could be about him, but you going deeper with him, or him revealing and releasing his purposes in your life. Is there a vow, a promise that he's asking you to make in these days? I don't want you to answer that now. I want you to think about it, and I want you to pray about it. So remember those promises of old, but also, what is the promise that he's asking you to make as we go forward from this place? So let me finish by reminding you, you know, Jonah said these three things when he was 3 days in. Think about that. He was in the fish for 3 days. It would have been manky in there. It would have been horrible. But at that moment, I'm sure hope was probably potentially ebbing away from him. Yet in that moment, he says this. He says, I've got to change my gaze. I've got to focus on who God is. I've got to reject some of the things in my life that are not going to help me. And I've got to put my focus on God, you know, who I want to worship. He chose to praise. You know, that moment, I'm sure despair was knocking on his door. I'm sure that the hardest thing, probably the last thing he wanted to do in that moment was praise and give thanks to God. And you know, as I said, we're a few weeks into this now, and who knows what the weeks ahead will hold for us. And I know some of you are struggling with that sense of just being locked in. But actually, I want to encourage you today. Choose to praise. Choose to be thankful. Even if it's just the smallest things, I think there's something about praise unlocking something of God's purpose and his presence in our lives. And he remembered the promises that he made. He remembered the vows that he made to God. It feels like Jonah had a reset moment, a Kairos moment. Remember we started today talking about the definition of normal, conforming to a standard. Okay, as we rethink, as we reset, as we get ready for whatever lies ahead of us as a church or as individuals, I want to suggest that we've got in these verses a pretty good standard to set. True worship, our focus being firstly upon God. praise and thanksgiving being a central feature of our lives, and then living daily and always consecrating ourselves to Him, being set apart for Him every moment, trying to embrace His presence, His holiness, His potential. And I think if we set that as our new normal, well, I think it's going to be really, really exciting. And it's a new normal that I would want to be at the sort of absolutely at the heart of my life, my family's life, and also as our church family's life. So I want us to pray together now. We do a little Zoom kind of prayer gathering on a morning, and this was highlighted this morning from, it's the New Living Translation of the reading where we started from Psalm 139. It says, "You place your hand of blessing on my head. You place your hand of blessing on my head." Now I'm gonna suggest that this will be easier for those of you who are on your own right now. But for those of you who have others in the room, you might feel a little bit silly, because I want to ask you to put your hand on your head. I want to ask you to put your hand on your head. And we're going to pray God's blessing. I've got the guys in the room, they're all doing it, so there's no excuses for anybody else. So we're going to put our hands on our heads. This is where we started, and this is where I want us to sort of go today as we respond to this word. You place your hand of blessing on our head. Just focus for a moment. Just invite God's hand of blessing. As you feel the weight of your own hand, just invite God's hand of blessing upon your head now. Come, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit. Just wait on Him for a moment. Come, Lord Jesus, come. You place your hand of blessing on my head. I believe that some of you right now are experiencing His blessing upon you. You're experiencing His touch. I pray for those of you who are feeling a real temptation to fall into despair right now. And I pray the Spirit of God would just fill you with praise and thanksgiving. He would put a new song in your mouth. Just continue to invite God to bless you. Welcome His Holy Spirit. Ask Him to just touch you deep, deep down. I know this might feel a bit weird, but we're just doing what He asks us to do, and that is to lay hands. It's our own hand. But we just pray, come, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit. I'm going to pray for those of you who are struggling to choose to praise, struggling to choose to make Him your focus. I'm just going to pray for a strength of resolve in these days. Come, Lord Jesus. I believe the Lord is touching you now. His presence here. I don't want to rush on. Just stay with us for a moment. You need to shut your eyes. Just shut your eyes. Just focus on Him. pray for a physical condition that's come to mind, and it's to do with a restricting of blood flow. And if there's anyone who's got a kind of a restricting of blood flow in their body, sort of maybe something to do with arteries or I don't know, I just sense that kind of restricting. If there's anyone there, I just pray healing in the name of Jesus. Speak healing now in the name of Jesus. And in Jesus' name, so we command that artery or that whatever it is that's causing the restriction to be gone, and for the flow to be restored. And see it now, and then it just arteries opening up and the flow being as it should be. And I want to pray too for hay fever. This is just an awful thing for some people, and I just pray, just come to my mind, and I just pray that the hay fever would just stop, that whatever irritation, that's aggravation in someone's body that's causing this, I just pray healing in the name of Jesus, freedom in the name of Jesus. And just one more thing, if that's okay, I want to pray for those who are struggling with maybe some tensions within the family. I just pray for a restoring of relationship. And this is part of that blessing, part of the hand of God being upon you. I pray for healing of relationships, restoration, reconciliation. We just release it and we proclaim it now over those situations in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Amen.